Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deese Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and joining us for today's program, we will speak with psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner Julie Trout about seasonal affective disorder. Before we do, I have a few announcements I'd like to share. February is American Heart Month, a nationwide observance focused on cardiovascular health, encouraging everyone to learn about heart disease risks and prevention through lifestyle changes like healthy eating, exercise, and CPR training, with the key event being National Wear Red Day this Friday, February 6th, to support women's heart health. We invite you to wear red with purpose again this Friday, February 6th, to honor the millions of women affected by heart disease and stroke, and to raise awareness about the number one killer of women. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death in women, claiming the lives of 1 in 3 women, more than all forms of cancer combined. Nearly 45% of women aged 20 and older are living with some form of cardiovascular disease. There are millions of female stroke survivors, and women also make up a large share of stroke deaths, showing just how serious this issue is at every age. Despite this, less than half of women recognize that heart disease is their greatest health threat. Again, we encourage and remind you this Friday to wear red to help educate, inspire, and remind one another that heart disease and stroke are largely preventable with awareness, healthy habits, and early detection. Also, want to mention a couple events we have coming up. This Thursday, February 5th, is our February SALT meeting. SALT is an acronym for Seniors and Law Enforcement Together. We will be meeting at 9 o'clock at the Hamilton County Conservation Building at 2490 Briggswoods Trail. We will start with refreshments and free blood pressure checks. The meeting will get underway at 9:30, where we will have announcements from law enforcement and area agency officials, as well as upcoming events around Hamilton County. The program will follow with John Laird, Hamilton County naturalist. He will be reviewing last year's programming with a look at what's to come this year. He will also discuss plans for the Conservation Office, sharing a vision for the future Nature Center. I do want to remind our listeners, SALT meetings are free and open to the public. They are held every other month. We certainly encourage your attendance. And we do host the meetings at different locations throughout Hamilton County. We also have a great opportunity coming up next week. We are going to be hosting a grief support group out at Van Deese Medical Center. The group is called Restore Us Care Ministry. So whether you are someone who is navigating the loss of a loved one, possibly going through divorce, job loss, or another significant life transition, this group offers a compassionate space to be seen, heard, and supported. This gathering is open to anyone experiencing any type of loss, regardless of faith background. The group will meet the second Tuesday of each month from 12 to 1. The first meeting will be held next Tuesday, February 10th, and the group will meet in the hospital conference room. This group will be facilitated by Pastor Sarah Namukose, who is with Asbury United Methodist Church. If you have questions about the group, you can certainly contact her or contact Asbury United Methodist Church. Again, just a reminder, this group will meet the second Tuesday of each month at Van Deese Medical Center from noon to 1 o'clock. And then lastly, I do want to share the February Community Blood Drive is a week later this month, so it will be held the third Thursday, February 19th from 12:30 to 5:30 in the clinic boardroom at Van Deese Medical Center. Appointments are encouraged. Please go online to lifeservebloodcenter.org to schedule yours today. A big thank you to the Hospital Auxiliary for hosting and planning the blood drives, and also a thank you to Scooters in Webster City for serving as our sponsor and donating the delicious cookies for our donors. And with that, we will get started into our program. As I mentioned, we are going to be talking with psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner Julie Trout about seasonal affective disorder. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Lori. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us on the show today. Great time to be talking about this topic. Before we do, I'd like you to just share with listeners a little bit about your role and how you impact mental health.
Yes. So my name is Julie Trout. Like you said, I'm a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner. I work at the main Webster City Van Deese as well as Stratford Satellite Clinic on Thursdays. I provide personalized mental health care, including assessments, diagnosing, and medication management on a focus with a focus of patient-centered care for patients in the Hamilton and Webster County areas.
Very good. Thank you. So why is it so important that we're having mental health conversations, especially during winter months?
So there is a particular diagnosis that is centered around winter months. Most people call it the winter blues, but it's a little bit more than that. Seasonal affective disorder, like you called it, or SAD. It's a subgroup of major depressive disorder, and it happens in the fall and winter time. So think around starting around daylight savings, end of October, beginning of November, with the decrease in the sunlight, our bodies take a hit. Mm-hmm. And then particularly January and February, we spike. That's when it's at its worst, because we've seen the shortest day come and gone, and now we're starting to build up back to that light again. But it's really due to the decrease in sunlight that we're experiencing this disorder.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I mean, even the past week, when I look back, we had a lot of days that did not see sunlight, and very bitter cold temperatures forcing people to stay indoors. I have to say, for one, on Sunday, last Sunday, just to see the sunlight mm-hmm. was so nice. Yeah. I had to get out in it for just a little bit.
Right, right. And like you said, especially with the extreme temperatures being so cold, it's hard for people to get outside. So, you know, if you can get out when it's sun shining, mm-hmm. just for 5 minutes even, is a good thing for you. But yeah, the isolation also is a big thing that plays a role in the winter months. We tend to isolate more because of the cold temperatures, the snowstorms, the ice storms, all of it. So
true. It's a balance, because we want to keep people safe, but we do know the health benefits mm-hmm. to being outdoors, being in the fresh air, getting in the sunlight with that vitamin D. And I was the same way, and I bundled up and looked ridiculous, but I did get out there and loved the sunlight hitting my face.
Right. And it's not about the sunlight hitting your exposed skin, right? It's about entering your eyes and triggering that circadian rhythm, which then helps to produce the vitamin D as well as the melatonin, which keeps us regular.
Mm-hmm. And we are going to be talking more about that, so I'm glad you mentioned it. Is there a group that is affected more by SAD?
So studies have shown that it tends to be more common in women. So women are 4 times more likely than men to experience seasonal affective disorder. And then young adults, typically it starts around the age of 20 to 30. And oftentimes once you have it, it tends to stay with us. So then you're going to see it recurring later in life, kind of consecutively every year. You see this pattern of it happens about every winter, fall, we tend to get a little bit more down. And then in the spring and summer, we get a little bit more upbeat. Then the other people that are a little bit more predisposed to it would be those with mental health already diagnosis occurring. Shift workers, think people who are working nights, so they're sleeping a lot during the day, they're not getting out to see that sun time. Think people who live further from the equator, so further north, cloudy regions, because again, they don't see that sunlight. They have that shorter days of sunlight, longer night periods. They are predisposed to SAD.
Understandable. Let's definitely take some time and talk about common signs and symptoms for people to watch for?
Mm-hmm. So again, like I said, right around end of October, beginning of November, you're going to start to see those common symptoms coming through. You're going to feel more tired. You're going to start withdrawing, again, because of the weather, but also because we just don't feel like engaging with people. We just want to stay by ourselves. Hibernation, mm-hmm. think a bear, right? We tend to overeat, especially in carbs. Again, hibernation. What are we doing? We're storing for the winter time. Weight gain, intense sadness. Oftentimes, this is lasting longer than 2 weeks is the big thing, right? And the longer it goes on, the harder it becomes to kind of catch up in the end to treat.
So very good that you share that with people because, yes, we can have off days. Everybody experiences that, mm-hmm. but this is a form of depression, and like you said, can extend, and unless you seek some treatment or change some lifestyle habits, it can get worse.
Yes, and likely it will just continue to progressively get worse as the months kind of carry on. And then what happens, and again, as the light starts to become more, our circadian rhythm becomes more natural, and then we kind of come out of it naturally in that sense. But then again, soon as winter time hits around, we're falling back into that depression piece again.
Mm-hmm. So people need to just take note of their bodies, how they're feeling, especially as the seasons change. I mean, here in Iowa, mm-hmm. we do experience this. Mm-hmm. And let's definitely talk, you've mentioned the circadian rhythm. There are some factors that may cause SAD or have an impact on individuals. Let's go right into that a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, again, talking about the circadian rhythm, that's something natural to everybody. We call it kind of, if you want to think about it, the light-dark cycle, right? We're up for so many period of hours during the light time, which then forces us and kind of promotes that dark time of sleep. So consistent sleep-wake times is very important. Even on weekends, you really don't want to deviate from your wake time and your sleep time. So if you go to bed at 8 p.m. and you're getting up at 6 a.m. every day, roughly you want to maintain that throughout the week, maybe deviating maybe an hour from that. Avoiding blue light, cell phones, TVs, laptops, about 1 to 2 hours before you go to bed. That can really drive that light cycle, right? Exercising during the day. So what I tell my patients more often than not is you want to be physically active and you also want to be mentally active. Engaging that brain mentally, because if you're just sitting around and not doing anything, you're not really forcing that dark time to be like, yes, let's take a nap kind of thing. You don't want a nap in the mm-hmm. afternoons. Limiting your caffeine intake. Now, I will say that looks different for everybody. Some people can drink it till 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Some people have to quit it before noon. But finding that right time for you of when caffeine is not good. Mm-hmm. I think that, and then obviously eating healthy, staying hydrated, those are really things that drive that sleep cycle.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you talked about the importance of going to bed at the same time, waking up at the same time, that sleep hygiene. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think most people have a cell phone, have, you know, some type of handheld device, and there are ways you can set a mm-hmm. bedtime reminder. Mm-hmm. We know the time can get away from us, but that is just a helpful, mm-hmm. I mean, mine will go off 15 minutes yeah. before bedtime, and sometimes I don't realize, like, gosh, is it already that late? Mm-hmm. So not encouraging you to get on your phones,
right.
but maybe help yourself and set a reminder so that you're getting ready, preparing yourself to go to bed and mm-hmm. go to sleep then.
Yeah, for sure. And also, too, I think most iPhones that I know of, just because of personal usage, have like a warm tone setting that you can set at specific times in the evenings. So it goes from that bright light to a little bit warmer light to kind of transition us into that bedtime, get ready for beds mode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tools. Use the tools to help you for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So the good news is there are treatment options. There is support.
Yes.
Let's talk about these.
Well, so number one treatment for people with SAD that I recommend is light therapy. That is the number one gold standard treatment.
Talk a little bit more about this.
I'm going to say, you're looking at me like, what is going on?
Gotta have more.
So light therapy, it's what you think it is. You buy a specific light that you put in a certain area of your house that you put on for about 20 to 30 minutes every morning to expose yourself and trick your brain into thinking that you're getting more light than there is outside. So the light has to have at least 10,000 lux, L-U-X, and that's where the 20 minutes to 30 minutes comes in. Now, I it goes without saying, but I have to say it, please do not look directly at the light. That will end in eye damage, and your eye doctor will not be happy with me. So typically, you want to put it somewhere that you're getting ready, is what I recommend to most of my patients, about 45-degree angle from where you're getting ready in your eyes, and you just have to have it on, again, 20 to 30 minutes every morning during this time. So as we enter October, we can start using our light therapy every day, every morning, using it. And it just helps, again, trick that brain and keep up the circadian rhythm and keep that more natural.
Great tip. And it's proven to help people.
Yes, yes, proven to help. You can find them on Amazon fairly cheap, anywhere from, I think, $20 on up. If you want to buy one on the higher end, there's probably out there for $100+ if you want to buy them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but it overall just helps people keep that regular circadian rhythm, which is what's upset during that SAD, to keep it regular. In the morning, first thing when you wake up, so if you're a shift worker, flip it. Whatever your morning is, that's when you're using that light therapy to keep that regular. Again, 45-degree angle, not looking directly at it. I say about 20 to 30 minutes every morning, every day. That's where it's most effective. 10,000 lux. The most common side effect, if you're using it initially when you're first starting it, week one, week two, you might experience headaches. That's the most common side effect that I hear from patients.
And it's just an adjustment getting used to it.
Yep. And after that 2 weeks, it usually subsides and then you're good to go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. A great tip. How about other approaches?
Yeah. So like you mentioned earlier, vitamin D. Vitamin D is important because that is what's lacking in those winter months as well, because we get it naturally from the sun, but because we're inside, it's darker. We don't get as much vitamin D as we should. So getting out when you can safely, right? That's good for you. Also, too, there is vitamin supplementation for vitamin D. I think if you're going to go that route, talking with your primary care provider or a pharmacist to see what the recommended dose would be in that regards. There are foods that you can eat that'll kind of help boost the vitamin D naturally. Salmon, tuna, egg yolks, fortified cereal or milk with vitamin D. Those are good options as well. Some of the other treatments, typically, some people, to again keep that circadian rhythm normal, can use melatonin at times. Melatonin is something our body naturally produces it. We call it the dark hormone. So it's what's driving that dark cycle in the circadian rhythm to help us sleep at night. So if you're going to, again, go that route, it wouldn't be a bad idea to get a recommendation from your primary care provider, mental health provider, or a pharmacist on what the recommendation is regarding dosing and that such.
Very good. How about some self-care strategies that people could try?
Self-care, obviously a big important one. Eating healthy, staying active physically. Exercise is just a natural endorphin producer and helps us to feel better, right? One other thing that I like to promote to people that I've heard throughout my education is what we call the vitamin C, which is connection, staying connected to other people, right? The more we stay connected, the more we're engaged with other people, and also the more other people can see when we start to struggle, too.
Most definitely. What's really important to share with listeners, too, is when it's time to possibly seek professional help. You've maybe done some things, but you're just not feeling better.
Right. And I would say if you've tried some of those self-care tips of like, I've exercised, I'm eating better, and I'm still isolating and I'm not feeling good, honestly, come in, seek help. at any point in time. If you feel like you need it, come see us. I would rather see a patient and say, here's my recommendation, than not see them and them have to suffer through the winter.
Mm-hmm.
So come in anytime.
Yeah, the winter months get long.
Right. As an interesting side note, actually seasonal affective disorder is not just in wintertime.
Mm.
There is a summer component. It tends to flip and it looks a little bit different, but it can definitely also be the case. So it tends to be more of like insomnia, anxiety, irritability. We're racing against the clock to get everything done. But there is a spring and summer component to this as well. So I don't want that to go unnoticed either. But if at any point you're struggling and you feel like you can't manage or you're not doing well and you feel like you need help, just reach out. Another thing that we like to tell people is you don't have to worry alone, right? You don't have to suffer alone. There are people who want to help you.
Absolutely.
Also recognizing that the holiday seasons can be hard for people because oftentimes we've lost people that we love, right? And so one of the hardest times are those first anniversaries, right? Holidays, right? I can remember when I was 16, my dad passed away, and like the first Thanksgiving we got together without him, and I just lost it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard, because it's that remembrance of like, man, that person would have been here but isn't. Patients will actually come to me February, March. Oh, I'm so sad. I'm so down. I'm so depressed. I'm so. And it's like, yeah, that's because we're coming out of the winter months, right? Like most people are like, oh, December beginning when it's all peaking. No. It's at the end of it that you're going to see the highest rates of people coming in being like,
I think so too. I mean, because I think the holidays, yeah, you know, is something that, okay, people are
is in its own
gearing
right
up for the, yes, holidays, and then come out of that and we're just in these winter months and there's not as much going on. The temperatures aren't as conducive to be outdoors.
Well, and when you think about it, the shortest day of the year is December 20th, right around there, that winter solstice time. That's when we have the shortest day of the year. So we've been building up to it, we hit it, and then we're kind of slowly coming out of it. And so by the time you get to the end of it, people are like, oh man, I'm just so down, I'm tired, I'm just and then it's like, well, of course, because you've been in darkness for the past three to 4 months. Now we're finally starting to see the other side of it where we're feeling good and like, you know, whereas fall we're riding that high off summer of like sunlight days. Yes.
So true.
And then it just crashes.
Julie, any final thoughts, tips you would like to share with our listeners today?
Again, I think staying connected is so important. Again, for the interaction as human beings, we are social creatures. We like to be engaged with other people, but also for that accountability of, am I doing well? Am I not doing well? And when in doubt, reach out, get help. We're here to help. I'm here to help.
So very true. Julie, again, I want to thank you for being on the show. For our listeners out there, Julie is available and you can make an appointment with Julie. We also have Mary Claire Lopez, who is a psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner, and Samantha Snovell, who is a behavioral health therapist. All three are available to see patients at Van D's Family Health Clinic in the Webster City location. As Julie mentioned, she's also available in the Stratford location. Appointments can be made by calling 515-832-7800. Or you can go online to our website, vandeestmc.org, and schedule first available appointment or what works best with your schedule. Thanks again for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Listeners, again, don't brush off that yearly feeling as a case of the winter blues or a seasonal funk you need to tough out on your own. Take steps to keep your mood and motivation steady throughout the year. And for our older adults needing help, needing assistance, we also have Senior Life Solutions. The number to call if you have questions or would like more information about that program, 515-832-7813, and Jean would be available to talk with you. And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deest Medical Center, where our focus is you.